Good morning. To your fathers out there, I wish you a happy Father's Day. I am one who was not raised with a father, but through my life I've had several men who were a good example to me of manhood and fatherhood. And I'm surely have been blessed by their strong example and teaching. So if you've had a good, faithful father, you've had a great blessing. In March, I started a lesson, and I think in the our audio file for the month of March, it's called Upon That Rock. That was arbitrarily given to that, but you can find the beginning of this lesson in that audio file under Ed Stevens, Upon That Rock. It was in March. Today I'm going to go on with that study. A lot of the things I said, I don't have time to repeat, but so we'll go on. Might have material left for a third lesson. But Jesus did say, I will build my church. Jesus had the authority to do this. It was prophesied by Moses that he would have the authority to do this, because Moses said, there will come a prophet like unto me, and he will establish a new covenant, and you need to listen to him. And that prophet was Jesus. Jesus had the authority to build his church. Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and that word means immersing them in water. And people say, well, that's something that seems highly unnecessary. And, you know, if I was establishing a church, I might not include that. But Jesus included it. And it's his church. He had the authority to order it. I'm sorry, sometimes I get lost. But, you know, I thought about retiring. But, you know, I can't find a scripture in the Bible that talks about retiring. So after some time, I decided, well, I'll just continue to do the best that I can. So here we go. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. Jesus gave authority to a certain group of men called apostles. There were 12 in the beginning. Judas lost his apostleship. Matthias was chosen to make it 12 again. And later Paul was chosen to be a special apostle to the Gentiles. And if we were living in that time, we're talking about people like you and me, he would have been the apostle to that. In Acts, the first chapter, the 21st verse beginning there, they had to choose a person to take Judas's place. And this was the qualifications. Therefore, of these men, there were several men who met these qualifications, but here they were. They have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. You know, there's people today claim to be apostles. Do you think they fulfilled this qualification? I think not. Beginning from the baptism of John, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and to the day when he was taken up from us, the day he ascended unto heaven. One of these, out of this group of men who fit these qualifications, must become a witness of us, of his resurrection. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he took the place of Judas and made the number 12 again. And as for Paul, Acts 9:15, the Lord told Ananias to go and to Paul, and he said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." And these were the only people that Jesus gave that kind of authority to bind things on the church, to loose things on the church, to ordain them, and so forth. Those are the only people. And how do we know they got it right? Jesus left. How do we know that those men got the message right? Well, Jesus said this to them right before he left. "You shall receive power when this Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and all the end of the earth. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom," Matthew 16:19, to Peter. "And whatever you bind shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven." So how do we know, again, that these men got it right? Well, they were going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what would the Spirit do to ensure that they got it right? John 16. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he will speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me." And isn't that so much different than our televangelists today? The most popular preachers in the world. And who do they glorify most? But self. It's so filled with self. And if you watch it, you can hear it bleed through their message and through the things they do. "But these men will glorify me," the Holy Spirit will, "for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you." So the message that these apostles were giving to the world was not their message. It was the message of Jesus Christ himself, who is the Lord of the church. He is the head of the church. He's the head of the body, which is the church. John 16:15, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine, and he will declare it to you, you apostles." And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were gathered together, probably lost their Lord they had seen, they had been with for 3 years or more. They had been with him almost daily. They ate with him, slept with him, traveled Israel and Jerusalem and Judea with them. And then he was taken from them in a very violent and bloody way. And they saw that he was resurrected, and they could hardly believe it. So they were waiting like Jesus told them to, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they began speaking with tongues. And they became men who knew what to say and knew what to do, because the Holy Spirit took what the Lord of the church wanted and gave it to them, and he gave it to the apostles. That is how we know they got the message right. They exercise the duties and obligations of their Christ-given office as apostles, not arbitrarily, not according to the desire of their own minds or their own hearts, not made up on the fly, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this was the message that they began to speak. We read a little bit in our reading this morning that as Peter stood up in the midst of these men, he concluded his speech with this comment that this Lord, this man, Jesus, the Lord has declared both Lord and Christ, and that Jesus you have crucified. And so, all the things that Peter said that day and all the things that they said, they knew in their hearts that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And knowing this, that they had taken him and crucified him, they cried out, "What shall we do? What shall we do now that we have done these terrible things?" And Jesus said, and Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that was the message. We go on and read that in Acts 2:41, "Then those that gladly received his word," the word that I just spoke, "were baptized. And there were about 3,000 souls that were added to them that day. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And we have done many, all these things today. And all who were gathered together and all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. This is one thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. The Revelation talks about the seven spirits of God, and one of those works of the Holy Spirit is that he incorporates believers into one body. And he establishes a fellowship among us that is very dear and very important. And in the very beginning of the church, we see that fellowship. How people who didn't have much received from those who had enough. And those who had a lot were willing and anxious to give to those that had a little. And this is the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to make fellowship such a special and endearing thing. And I don't know what I would have done without it in my life. I don't know what I would do without it today. To know that I'm living today among the people I'm going to spend eternity with. And that's a very, very special thing. One thing you could do is look through the New Testament for all the verses that talk about how we should treat one another. And it's all with care. And it's all with love and nurturing and goodwill. It's all about that. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food together with gladness and simplicity of heart and praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was after all those things mentioned above that God added them to the church. After hearing the word, believing the word, confessing in their hearts that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, obeying the command of the apostle to repent and to be baptized, and then submitting to baptism, rising up a new creation. This is another work of the Holy Spirit. We read in Genesis 1 how God created the heavens and the earth, and it was all a watery, lifeless material. And the Holy Spirit came and fluttered. That's the word that the Hebrew means. It fluttered upon the face of the deep. And all of a sudden, every particle, every atom became charged. And a life, the spark of life was in it. Every atom, even the smallest atom, has power that it derived from the Holy Spirit. And so from all that, God created the 6 days of creation. And so in the church today, when we are immersed in water, having confessed and repented, and when we are immersed, that dead man of sin is buried. And what rises up? We're forgiven of our sins. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we rise up a new creation, a new creature, given life and by the Holy Spirit after we have been forgiven of our sins. It comes through our obedience. It doesn't come through a sinner's prayer. We don't receive those things through a sinner's prayer. We receive them through hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel of Christ. So what is so important about that? I'm going to skip a little ahead here, running fastly out of time. Let's turn and read it. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. It's an important verse. Very important verse. And let's begin reading verse 5. This is, and the church there at Thessalonica had been persecuted by the Jews and by others in authority. And so Paul says, "This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just, God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." You know, we like to think Jesus as this guy that has little children around him and has a sheep in his hand. I've seen all kinds of those things. And that is true. He loves us. He loves people so much. He loves people so much that he wore himself out practically every time he went out in public. We know of a couple dozen or more miracles that Jesus did. But there are verses in the Bible that tells us he went healing everyone in the multitudes, or as he passed through a city. And the multitudes would follow him, and he would speak to them, and he would heal them. He did all this. But John the Baptist said, when people ask him, are you the Messiah? He said, no. There's someone coming who is mightier than me. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire that we're talking about is just what we read here in 2 Thessalonians. He will come in flaming fire, inflicting judgment on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what John the Baptist meant when he said, some people will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and some are going to be immersed in the wrath of fiery judgment. And the way to do that, and I'm away from my notes. I can't find my place in my notes. But the way we can escape the judgment of Jesus Christ is through obeying his gospel. That's how we do it. And once we are in there, we begin a lifetime work of showing God our repentance and our faith and our belief that he is coming again. You know, when we broke this bread, the Apostle Paul said, every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show the Lord's death. We go back, and that's our focus, his death. But our focus also is when he comes again. For as sure as he ascended into heaven, he will come again in those same clouds. That's how we escape the wrath of God. At this time, we ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the Holy Spirit of blessing in your life and to live each day in confidence, knowing that if you die or if the Lord shall come, you shall be taken with him either way into heaven, and there you will live with him forever. So we ask you, if you have made that decision, to come up here and we will immerse you in Jesus' name. Let us stand and sing.